Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mason, because it's your birthday, I thought you could do the intro as a special birthday treat.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to yet another episode of the Weekly Planet. Something about comicbookmovie.com.
Great.
The official podcast. Great.
Yep.
I'm James, junior editor of the thing. I'm Nick Mason. I'm the other guy in the podcast.
Well done.
Thank you.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
You didn't think that was a burden? Like, that was a gift. It wasn't supposed to be a burden.
Oh, no. It definitely felt like a gift. Thank you. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, and you baked me this cake.
I did.
Oh, this podcast cake that exists only in the theater of the mind. Thank you. I'll treasure it for the next hour and a bit.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
It's been pretty good.
All right. Well, let's hope it gets even better.
Plenty of Facebook notifications, and that's when you know you really love.
Exactly.
You know?
Did anyone call you?
Yeah.
You sure? Come on.
Call me an idiot.
Okay.
Multiple
right.
times.
Sweet. Well, maybe Mason, I can sing you happy birthday.
No, we can't afford that.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
very litigious, those people. You can't sing the happy birthday song.
Oh, well.
Yeah, don't
tough,
do it.
Tough luck.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get straight down into the news then. Do you want to do the news because it's your birthday?
No, you have the news written down. I don't have the news written down.
You don't take gifts well, do you?
Not at all, no. Also, new listeners have no idea what's going on at this point.
Good point.
Do you want to do an actual intro?
Sure. This, everybody, is the official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, junior editor at that website. With me, as always, my co-host, Nick Mason.
Hey, everyone. It's my birthday.
Perfect. All right. So, Mason.
Yes?
Batman versus Superman has been retitled officially.
Yep.
Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Great.
Really?
Yeah, it's something, isn't it?
Is it long enough?
It's some words.
Yes, it is.
Well, nobody's going to call it that, are they?
No.
Going to call it Batman versus Superman.
Well, that's right, exactly.
Yep.
Do you prefer it to Batman versus Superman?
No.
I thought you'd
certainly
be...
Certainly not.
Okay, cool. I thought you'd be more outraged, but you seem just indifferent.
I've had some time to adjust.
Okay.
That happened early in the week.
That's a good point.
It?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, we are recording this on a Sunday night, so yeah, it's been... Nobody probably even cares about this anymore.
Right, yeah.
Everybody's moved on.
Yep.
But look, the internet was not happy with this.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you noticed. I mean, if the movie's great, it won't... obviously, it won't really matter. It's still uh-huh. it's still a very kind of convoluted title.
But at the same time, Captain America, the first Avenger, and then it led into Avengers.
Yeah.
The same model, right?
They're yeah, yeah, fair point.
Dawn of Justice into Justice League.
But you've got three things going on there. You've got Batman. Well, first
yes.
of all, it's a Superman sequel. But you've got Batman and Superman and like a Justice League Begins kind of subtitle.
Uh-huh.
I mean, as somebody else suggested, why not
some sort of time of day is involved as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We thought it was going to be night, but it's dawn.
Why not just Batman, Superman, World's Finest?
As we know, I have been pushing for Batman and Superman. They fight for a while and then they're mates. But that'll never happen. So whatever, Dawn of Justice is fine.
Sure. Okay. Good as any. Now, I've got a few Twitter reactions here. Some
uh-huh.
of the best of the web. Not the best, just some that I kind of found on a webpage. So
right.
This is from Sad Riddler. He
uh-huh.
says, riddle me this. Why is the new Batman title so terrible?
Now, okay, that's great.
Sure.
By great, I mean, okay, that's fine. Yeah, did you go through the rest of his tweets?
No.
Is he just the Riddler, but he says sad things?
It's just Sad Riddler, at Sad Riddler.
Okay. Because I'm wondering if that's his gimmick. Like,
he's
the Riddler, but he's all, riddle me this. Why don't my grandkids talk to me anymore? You know? Just sad revelations from his life.
It's the Riddler actor from the 60s.
Yeah.
Just upset.
Yep.
Ethan Anderton says, world's finest, Batman vs. Superman would have been a better title. Oh, there you go. But this Game Gear title is what we get. Huh. Referencing the 90s Sega handheld system.
Absolutely,
the
sure.
Sega Game Gear. The Batman, you know, the Batman, or the goddamn Batman, that guy.
Oh, sure, yep. Mm-hmm.
He says, runner-up was Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Superman's long hospital stay.
Okay, good. Right? Yep.
Ryan McGee says, Superman v. Batman x Tekken.
Okay, clever, yep. Just add another one.
Here's another one. Aquaman v. Submariner, Wave of Integrity.
It's pretty good. I would sort of.
And Matt Singer says...
That's an SNL sketch there, I think.
Absolutely.
Maybe a Funny or Die. It's probably a Funny or Die
sketch. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Or maybe a Robot Chicken.
Yep.
Or Matt Singer says, if there's anyone alive called Dawn Justice, her day just got significantly shittier.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. There you go.
Fantastic.
Well, I guess that is what it is. It's officially now something.
Yep. How long to go until it's out?
Like May 2016.
So a year, great.
No, May 27. No. The 2016, 2 years. So, yeah.
Ugh.
But as someone pointed out, the first photo of Superman apparently appeared 2 years before in Man of Steel.
Uh-huh.
So I can't remember who sent me that. But yeah, Josh Zingman written in again, friend of the show.
Zingman!
Zingman, yeah. He's noticing like a pattern in titles, and I agree with him. But start off with like Dark or Darkness, like The Dark Knight, Star Trek Into Darkness, Thor the Dark World. And then you'd also got like Rise of the Planet of the Apes, G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra. And now everything's Dawn of This or Age of That.
Interesting.
So that's the new thing, I guess.
Huh, okay.
Mm.
Well, there's a lot of weird trending stuff happens. Like if you look up movie posters that are blue and orange,
yeah,
there's literally hundreds of them. Like there's a sort of a slice in the middle and half of it's blue and half is orange.
Absolutely.
Like, so I guess these things go in stages.
Isn't the trick for movie posters you got to pick two colors on the opposite side of the color wheel or something?
Yeah,
isn't
I think
that
that's true. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Currently we're up to
blue and orange. Yeah, orange, exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of the X-Men are Days of Future Past posters are that. So, you know,
yeah.
It is what it is. You got something there? You got something sweet?
No.
Okay.
Just scrolling through my Twitter feed.
Okay,
hey, everybody
cool.
on Twitter.
Now, bad news. Oh. Sad news, Mason, for the Ant-Man movie, which is due out sometime late-ish next year.
Uh-huh.
August, I want to say. Maybe. No, July.
Who's to say? It's been thrown in a turmoil.
Sure. Edgar Wright has left Ant-Man, apparently amicably. Mm-hmm. But there was creative differences between himself and Marvel. E.H. Von Bronstein, you know him, he's on the Twitter. He said he's upset, as most are.
Understandably.
Yeah, after months and months of build-up. Not even months, like years.
Yeah,
this has been coming since 2006. Yeah. This was supposed to be one of the first
And MCU this is many, this is kind of Edgar Wright's sort of pet project.
Yeah.
Like, it's the one he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And now to see it just like pull the plug at this very kind of late in the game. Joss Whedon showed his support. He was holding up a cornetto
in reference to the Cornetto trilogy. Sure.
James Gunn responded and said that it was like seeing a couple break up that you like, but you know they're not meant to be together kind of thing.
Okay, sure.
So, look, I know, and he's basically saying that, look, people are inclined to take sides or whatever. But maybe just sometimes these things just don't work out.
Right.
And no one's to blame.
But who is to blame in this case?
Wow, that's a good question. Let's pick a side.
Because, I mean, like, I have a lot of faith in Marvel's output just generally.
Yeah.
I feel that if one thing that I think is maybe underrated with Edgar Wright is his cinematography, especially his fight cinematography.
Absolutely.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
And I think if he wanted, I don't think he would say, look, I want to do these things with the character.
Yeah.
Like, cinematography-wise, they wouldn't have said no.
Mm.
Like, and I think that he would have sort of brought it to the next level.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoyed the fight sequences in Captain America 2.
Yeah, me too.
And
yeah.
I think he would have really sort of...
He would have nailed that. Well, the bathroom fight scene from...
The World's End,
World's End is incredible.
That's incredible, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I find it hard to understand that they couldn't reach an amicable kind of
point
on this film, especially considering... Apparently Marvel and Joss Whedon in particular encouraged, what's his name, the guy who's doing Guardians of the Galaxy? James Gunn.
Yep.
To make Guardians of the Galaxy more James Gunn-ish.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yet
this wasn't the case for Ant-Man. Maybe it came down to he didn't want to tie it as much into the continuity. Because a lot of the time, they force certain aspects into a film.
Mm.
I know Thor the Dark World's post-credit scene wasn't directed by Alan Taylor. That was directed by James Gunn. You know, the one with the
collector,
the collector and whatever. Mm. So maybe it's got something to do with that. I don't know. Because I think Ant-Man wasn't even supposed to be initially connected to anything. It was just like
a standalone
film.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, initially Iron Man's not connected to anything. It's just Iron Man was a standalone film initially. Yeah.
Well, you see that turned out.
Yeah.
Don't even know what that means.
You know what the worst part is, though? we're never going to stop hearing about this.
That's very
true. About this potential.
About what it could be. About who, you know, how the plot was going to work out and amazing twists and turns.
I mean, it's probably still going to turn out pretty great. I'm hoping it is.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, you know, the third X-Men movie that was never made.
Right.
That was, but Bryan Singer was supposed to make it.
No, it was never made.
Never made. It's like any project that, you know, people are clamoring to see. Yeah. It's George Miller's Justice
League. Like that Indiana Jones 4 that was never made.
Yeah.
You know? All the greats.
That's it. All the greats. So, yeah, I mean...
The Star Wars prequels that were never made. Oh, finally. Wonder what, you know...
That there was,
Where
they
did
made
Darth
that,
Vader come from?
They made that really good Darth Maul scene, but that's all they shot.
Yeah.
Do you remember
weird,
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bizarre. So, yeah.
And that's a shame, and because... Like, Edgar Wright, from that point, could probably just write his own ticket in Hollywood. Like, he could just do anything he wanted, surely.
That's it.
Or, at the same time, maybe he'd be wedded to Marvel movies forever.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe Joss Whedon is wedded to Marvel movies forever at this point.
That's exactly it, yeah. Mm. It was a beautiful ceremony.
The Hulk officiated.
Yes. Stanley was best man.
Oh, of course he was.
He didn't know what was going on. Yeah. All right, that's not the only... I love Stanley. Mm. I don't mean to. I shouldn't take a dig at Stan Lee, should I? Is that not cool?
Yeah, he might die at any moment, so don't. We want to meet him before he dies, right? So
yeah, sure. Okay. Drew Goddard, Mason. Mm-hmm. He worked on many things, including The Cabin in the Woods. He was the director for that. He was the showrunner as well for Marvel's Netflix Daredevil series.
Mm.
He's now left to direct the Sinister Six movie. Which of those two would you rather see him do?
Who was he taking over from Sinister Six? Anyone?
No, that was... He was always just doing it.
Oh, okay.
He just is. Like, it was announced, and then it was announced that he was doing it.
Right. If I can only pick one?
Yeah.
Daredevil.
Me too. Mm. And it's a TV series. Interesting that you would say that. He's been replaced by... Oh, by the way, this is another thing where it was amicable and whatever. It just kind of played out this way.
Seems a bit suspicious that there's been two amicable releases in the last week. Right?
Yeah, that's it. He was replaced by Stephen S. DeKnight. Now, he's worked on Buffy, Angel, Spartacus. So, he's the new Daredevil showrunner. I didn't watch much of Buffy. Didn't watch any of Angel. I watched all of Spartacus. And I quite like Spartacus.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, he's okay. I would have preferred Drew Goddard, but that's only because I know more of his work, I would say.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. What do you think?
I don't care.
Okay, cool. Sure. Now, Mason, we saw Godzilla and decided that we didn't hate it.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
What is the reaction of the internet been?
It's weird. It's like they love it or they hate it. It's a lot of like, if you're a true Godzilla fan, you'll love it. If you're not, you don't understand it and you're an idiot.
So wait a second. True Godzilla fans are enjoying it.
Yes.
Are they really?
Yeah.
There you go.
Generally, yeah. Huh. I can't recall a single comment. I don't read everything.
I can't recall a single comment. Full stop.
That, like, you know, because he does everything that he's, you know, that Godzilla's supposed to do and whatever. And it's true to the character and blah, blah, blah. And other people are saying, well, it's not very fun and the lead character is boring and whatever.
He's very boring.
He's very boring.
I've spoken to a lot of people since then and a lot of people said they wanted more Bryan Cranston.
So yes.
No spoilers, but they wanted more Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
A lot of people, based on the trailers, you would assume that Bryan Cranston is in it the whole film.
Absolutely. That would have solved that problem definitely. Because why does he have to be like a young kind of cool army guy who takes the lead? Why not just have Bryan Cranston?
Exactly.
Who does anybody want to see more?
Right.
Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston, right. Yeah.
So there you go. Now, Gareth Edwards.
As Walter White in Breaking Bad.
That's right.
That's what they want to see.
Now, Gareth Edwards, he is signed on to Godzilla 2, but it was always the intention that he would make another movie between Godzilla and Godzilla 2, right? This guy has...
Godzilla 1.5.
That's right. It's,
the Timon and Pumbaa backstory.
From their perspective.
Yep.
Fantastic. What was I going to say? No, he's Leap.
It's from the perspective of that dog.
Which dog? Oh, no, the dog that escaped?
That escapes the tidal wave.
Well, we think it escaped.
Probably got crushed to death.
Yeah, probably. Like, he did a small independent film, Monsters, which he pretty much did mostly himself.
Yep.
Godzilla, giant opening weekend, very successful film, generally well-received.
Uh-huh.
And the next one he's now doing for 2016 is the first Star Wars spin-off.
Spin-off. So not the trilogy.
No.
Something else.
J. Abrams is doing that. They're doing three other... they're basically going Star Wars movie every 2 years. In between, you're getting a spin-off movie. December 16th, 2016. It's not that long away.
Star Wars Zombies. Great.
You
That's
know
all
it.
I've ever wanted.
So, yeah, look, I think what they're doing here, and maybe I'm wrong, they get like a kind of broad kind of mass appeal director like J.J. Abrams to do the main story.
Yep.
And then you get kind of, well, he's not really a smaller director, but he's lesser known and he's kind of more character-driven pieces, you'd to do like a, not a left of center kind of Star Wars movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've kind of got your standard, your bog standard Star Wars, and then something a little bit different.
Sure.
And I think that's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get a Boba Fett spinoff.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
I would sort
take your character-driven stories, bloody chuck those out.
Yeah.
Boba Fett story. He's shooting rockets. He's flying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Grappling hook.
Grappling
flamethrower.
Flame rockets.
He'll probably fight that Sarlacc again. Like it'll come out of the sand and he'll punch on with it. How good that be?
The best. So yeah, the Boba Fett story they were talking about making. The rumor was that there's a character between the prequels and the original Star Wars film who kills the original Boba Fett, the clone, who's the clone, and takes over the armor, and that's the Boba Fett we see in the Star Wars movies.
Interesting.
Even though George Lucas went back and changed his voice, so he's got the same voice as the other one.
Right.
But that would make him infinitely more interesting if...
Hang on, so little Boba Fett
from
Attack of the Clones is a clone.
Yes.
He's not an actual child?
No, he's a clone. Didn't you know that?
No.
Yeah.
I'm not putting more information into my brain about Star Wars prequels than I need to. He's a clone.
He's a clone, but he's...
Of Jango Fett.
Yeah.
Why is he little and all the other ones are full grown?
Good question. This is actually addressed. In the... I can't believe I know this. But in
you know a thing about a prequel. You're an idiot.
But one of his requests to train the clone army and all that kind of thing, like, he was paid a lot of...
Credits.
Holo creds. Very good. That's it.
Gold pressed latinum.
That's right.
That's the Star Trek currency.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought there was no currency in Star Trek.
You'd think that, but in Deep Space Nine, it's gold pressed latinum.
Oh, there you go.
Which is a dumb
You
currency.
Know a thing. You're
oh,
a dickhead.
Oh, no. Oh.
But,
Fair's fair.
Yeah. But, and one of his requests is, I want a clone of myself, which is odd, that ages at a regular pace.
Okay.
So that's where he comes from.
There you go.
But if you get somebody else taking over from Boba Fett, somebody we don't know who that is, that's way more interesting.
That is way better. I'd much prefer that, yeah.
Yeah, because we know everything about that guy.
Yeah.
No, we know some things, and it's crap, and who cares?
Yeah. We certainly know his scientific origin, don't we? You do.
Now, I thought next week, Mason, I wanted to do this a few weeks ago, and I floated it with you, and you shot it down. No, not true.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. I want to do Star Wars stories that we want to see.
Okay, sure.
Right, in film. So I thought, on the back of this being announced, and there'll probably be some bullshit Star Wars news announced this week. So
absolutely.
We'll do that next week. And if anybody's got any suggestions of things they want to see, tweet us, email us at weeklyplanetpod.
Yeah, because, I mean, my Star Wars Expanded Universe knowledge is pretty packed.
Doesn't have to be. It can be anything that you want to see.
Ooh.
Anything. So you can get your Boba Fett clone boy story.
I don't want that. Why would I want that? God.
CJ also wrote in. He was just wondering, in honor of the Godzilla movie, if James could do his Bryan Cranston impression with Mason responding with his John Lithgow impression.
Okay, I'm ready.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, but...
My wife was killed by this monster! You guys are fucking idiots.
Oh, that's it. That's all we have.
I feel like your impression is better than my impression. Well, that's if we all had I to got. Rank them.
Right?
Oh, jeez.
Thank you for that, CJ.
Yeah, I know.
Feels good to exercise the old John Lithgow pipes, you know what I mean?
I'm surprised you remember that. I thought I'd spend 10 minutes explaining to you what he was talking about. But that's in the memory bank, isn't it? That one. We got to talk Guardians of the Galaxy, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Just briefly, there was a new trailer this week.
New trailer?
Yeah. Look, I don't really have anything to say about it. It still looks great. That's it.
Well, we get to hear Bradley Cooper and Vin Diesel.
That's
for the
true.
First time,
right? I had Bradley Cooper. They'd released a little bit of footage previously. Right. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, this is our booth. And then I'll put in a clip of that, so you know how good I did that.
Great.
This one here's our booth.
Do you put in clips and stuff
during
the show?
Yeah, occasionally.
Good on you.
Sometimes I say it and then I don't.
Great.
Or sometimes I say it and then I think it's funnier just to not put it in. So I just don't.
It's a Russian roulette of entertainment.
Exactly.
Pretty great. Okay.
Yeah.
What else do we see in that? We see his unstable molecules helmet thing happening.
Oh,
we
yeah.
see that.
Yeah,
his little jet pack.
Yep, that's true.
Pretty exciting.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of get the feel of the team more. So they're kind of this ragtag group, I guess.
Seem to be spending a lot of time in prison.
Yeah, sure. We see Nowhere in it?
It doesn't look like a celestial head. It looks like a...
like a skull.
Like a kind of a giant skull thing.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Sure, yeah. Whatever. Mm. Sometimes you've got to make changes in the comics, Mason.
Changes.
Correct.
We don't have the rights to that either. We're going to get sued.
Oh, shit. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's going to be good and I look forward to it.
Mm.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That brings us to the main topic of this week, Mason.
Oh.
Your birthday.
Oh.
Happy. No, can't do it.
Can't do it.
Now, Mason.
Yes.
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, we saw that.
We did. Did you say you or I or both?
Both. We did.
We did. Yeah. Did you see it again?
No.
I was going to see it again, but then I didn't.
Great.
I'm leaving that in.
Why make it fresh in our minds?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was expected, or it is expected, to make $120 million this weekend in the US. Which
Again, is that good?
That's good.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
It had a $36 million opening day. Mm. I mean, it's got to make at least $120 million the first weekend, seeing as it is the second most expensive movie
of all time. Sure.
It's weird, though. It doesn't look like it would. It is, though, does it?
Looks pretty cheap and shoddy, if you ask me.
I'm not saying it looks cheap.
You're saying it looks shoddy.
But I'm saying
Bishop's gun looks pretty shoddy. I like it, but it looks pretty shoddy.
Sure, fair point. I mean, there's a lot of sets and whatever that are in a place, and a lot of that goes into the 20,000 cast members. Like, a lot of that money would go
People are very excited, talking about Star Wars.
Mm.
People are very excited that first shot of Episode 7.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that.
It's an actual set.
Yeah.
People are very excited.
And a puppet. And an animatronic-y kind of looking thing.
Yeah.
Kind of looks something like from The Labyrinth. It doesn't I don't know, I don't think it works that well.
I've never seen The Labyrinth.
People
are upset about that.
Well, I saw it when I was older.
Uh-huh.
Didn't care for it.
Exactly. It's too late for us.
I know I would have loved it as a kid.
Hmm.
I don't doubt that.
Uh-huh.
But what do you think of that, internet?
Yeah.
You sons of bitches. Not our listeners.
No.
Some of them. Yeah, now when we went to we mentioned this last week, the Melbourne premiere, which is probably the, 11th most relevant premiere for it, like from around the world.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
We got the dink. We got Hugh Jackman, and we got the girl who plays
Blink.
Blink, yeah.
Whose name we should know, and we don't.
She does a good job.
Yep.
But yeah, there was a billion people at that premiere.
Mm-hmm. When we say premiere, also, that's quite lofty. We were there with the public.
Exactly. We weren't in a press thing or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But there was like a billion people milling around like Hugh Jackman, and that. I couldn't see him at all. And I just went, you know what? I'm not even. So I just went downstairs and I got Japanese food.
Fantastic.
Yeah. With my brother.
Hmm.
Yeah. But in general, what did you think of the premiere? Or if you don't want to talk about that, what did you think of Days of Future Past? We'll go non-spoiler.
I just want to talk about the premiere, actually. The air conditioning was a little harsh.
Sure.
It's a little too cold in there, I thought. That's about it, though. It's good.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it, though?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, we'll go non-spoilers for
the free. Non-spoiler. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, let's go.
Because this is the kind of movie that you can spoiler, like, quite a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, did you think it lived up to your expectations or my expectations?
I don't know if I had any expectations at this point.
Okay.
Given that ultimately the X-Men movies have been kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
I wasn't really sure.
I would argue, though, that there are more good ones than bad ones.
You're probably right.
I'd say there's four good ones and there's two not good ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Before this came out.
Right. But also, you could say that there may have been a downward spiral. We might have been approaching a downward spiral.
I don't think so. I'll talk about this a bit later in the spoilers, but I'll get into it later.
Okay,
I don't
want
to get into it. So, but you didn't mind?
I enjoyed it a lot.
Sure.
Yeah.
Would you say it's not Captain America level too good? Like, if you had to choose.
If I have to choose.
If you didn't have to choose, but I just asked you, what would you say?
Like just seconds ago you asked me to choose. Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, I think they're two different animals.
Agree.
I wouldn't compare the two at all.
So, what about if I got a dog and a cat? What would you say to that?
They're also different animals, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk then the future. Oh, in general, I put a review up for it. I liked it. I wouldn't say I loved it. I liked it a lot.
Yes.
But I think it's getting a lot of praise that, not necessarily undeserved, but it's not as good as some people assume that it is or say that it is.
Really? Give me an example there. What are they saying is great?
Who's saying it's great or what's saying it's great?
What about it is...
People are saying that it's reinvigorated the X-Men franchise.
I think potentially it has.
Okay.
Like maybe the next one.
Yeah.
Like they've... Well, actually, we can't say anything without spoiling there.
Let's hate this.
Yes, I know, right? look, I think the action sequences were really good, especially... I thought a lot of the future, what little future action sequences we had.
It was about 30%, 30%,
I reckon even
70%,
less.
Yeah?
I reckon it was probably 20% future.
Okay, cool. Because they said 30, 70, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Initially, but yeah, you're probably right. Well, there was a few scenes cut out, which we'll talk about a bit.
And a lot of characters had very minimal screen time.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, that's what you get when you combine two casts. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, really. Speaking of the future bit, that opening scene where the Sentinels bust in and there's that fight between all the different mutants, that was incredible. What a great start to a film, right?
Yes.
Just seeing all the powers on display. It's good to see, like, I know Iceman isn't like the most popular character, but it's good to see like him. It's good to see Kitty Pryde again.
Yeah.
It's good to see some new ones like Bishop and whatever.
It was good to see Iceman like
do his ice slide
like he's clearly he's reached the point where he's clearly mastered his powers at this point.
Exactly. Well, it's set in like 2024.
Yeah, yeah.
And
did you know the original set in 2013?
Yeah,
isn't future that weird? That's already passed. There we go. I love them. Although we got Warpath.
Yeah,
which I don't think is an interesting.
I've just got him as here the guy with knives.
Yeah, that's him. That's Warpath. I don't find him. Like, he's not visually interesting.
No, he's not.
And he's just like a generically super strong, super tough guy.
He looks like a character from Killer Instinct.
He does look like a character from Killer Instinct. Yeah. I don't know. And he's not, like, the comic version's like supposed to be like 7 feet tall.
Can't he like fly and stuff?
He
does a bunch, and he's super strong. I didn't get a feel for that at all.
No, yeah, I think... Well, that's the thing. Like, and he's got supposed. I guess he's there because he's supposed to have the super enhanced sensors,
okay.
And he's supposed to be like their scout or their surveillance system or what have you.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, he can. He learned to fly at some point.
Mm.
I don't know why that happened.
He's learning to fly, but he ain't got wings.
Correct. Exactly.
Coming down is the hardest.
But it's one of those ones where they're like, yes, good. Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Great. Where they sort of like different writers have gone. Why can he fly?
Yeah.
That's kind of ridiculous. I just won't mention it. And then other writers have put it in again. But yeah, he couldn't really fly in the movie.
No.
I mean, he wasn't spectacular or anything. Yeah.
Not compared to the other ones. I mean, I thought, what a good use of Blink. It's a shame we probably won't see her again.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not a spoiler or anything, by the way. That's just...
She's in the future.
The way these movies... Yeah, exactly. She's in the future. Mm-hmm. What a really cool power. Like a throwy, teleporty thing.
Mm.
And that worked really, really well.
Oh, yeah.
I like Sunspot as well. I thought he was... You know, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But why not just get Pyro?
It's a good point. He already exists, right?
Yeah. I'm not saying he wasn't good. That guy was fine. He was great. And Colossus was always great to see.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That Colossus effect is really good.
They've improved that, I think, a lot, yeah.
Do you know...
It's more like a... extendy kind of like a plating, like an expanding plating kind of effect now.
You know, it's interesting in to save costs in X-Men 3
they just wrap him in tinfoil.
That's what they did.
Okay,
they just, it's he's in like a metallic-y bodysuit.
So
that's...
weird place to cut corners, but then again I didn't notice.
Yeah, so, well, yeah. Good cares? Point.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they could bring back Blink.
They should bring Black.
Yeah, I know. So right. Yeah, that's what I said, exactly.
Yeah, why not?
There's no, you don't necessarily have to rule that out. No. Any of those future characters, I mean, they're going to meet her at some point.
Yeah.
To put her on the team, so why not in Apocalypse? Maybe?
But depending, though, when that next Apocalypse is set,
yeah,
which
yeah.
I know when it's set, and we'll talk about that later without spoilers, I don't know if that's a possibility.
Uh-huh.
Do you think they were accurately and adequately represented, these future mutants?
Not Warpath. I think we've discussed that okay, seconds cool. ago. But
in general,
else, yeah.
like Bishop, uh-huh. fine. Yep. Okay with that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Mm,
sure.
And again, this is another one like Godzilla where we get that he absorbs the powers of other mutants or energy, and then he directs it through the gun. Yeah. Nobody had to explain that.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
That's nice.
Thank you, filmmakers. Is this a new era of... not having to explain everything?
Let's,
I hope so.
Let's just wait on Transformers.
Yeah, good point.
I was going to say Transformers 3, but we did that one.
Yeah.
What about the past mutants? All the returning cast from First Class and a few extras, I believe. I mean, you see briefly like Toad and...
he's got a new look.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, do you have to give him that look?
And he didn't even have to be Toad, really.
No.
Because he was only in it for 2 minutes.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice to see Havoc again, even though he's barely in it. Yeah. I like that character. He's good in the comics, and it's a shame that he wasn't in it more, but sure, whatever. But do you think, though, they did shoehorn in too many characters? I think it was well-balanced considering how many were in there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But maybe it was a few too many. I
didn't feel overwhelmed.
No, me neither. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess at this point as well, because we've had 14 years of this,
yes.
we know who people are, so you don't need to explain so many people.
Right.
Iceman turns up and you know who Iceman is. Or,
right.
Well, you know, some people do.
Right.
But yeah. What about the costumes? Oh, go on.
I was going to say, on one hand, these movies are for the fans,
yeah.
you know, who have been through it for 14 years. But on the other hand, they all seem to fit in their own continuity.
Yep.
And the fans, me specifically, get annoyed at the weird continuity errors.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really annoyed, but I notice them.
Yeah.
And they seem to just sort of paper over a lot of the inconsistencies.
Yep, absolutely.
So if you were a new viewer of these films and you hadn't seen one before and you saw Days of Future Past,
yeah.
they wouldn't bother you as much, right?
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
You're I mean, right. it well, mostly makes sense.
As you said last week, a friend of yours said, what is it? You just got to imagine that they're all set in different parallel dimensions.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like the Highlander films.
Yeah,
otherwise, exactly. they make no sense. Yeah.
yeah, that's it. Well, before we get into spoilers, I just wanted to ask you about the costumes
uh-huh.
or the lack thereof,
right.
In particular in the past. I mean, it's weird because you kind of get Magneto, who has a costume
uh-huh.
and a specific look.
Yep.
And that's it.
I would say that Magneto's costume in this is much improved from the one we see right at the end of First
Class. Terrible.
Well, okay, at the end of that one, I thought, oh, that's kind of fun because it's kind of a 60s.
Yeah.
It's deliberately kind of over the top. It's very red and purple and kind of thing. But
he had looked like a wool cape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But having to look at that for 2 hours would have been incredibly painful. So I'm glad they toned it down quite a lot.
Did you like the way the cape was cut?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, that was
so
cool,
asymmetric.
Wasn't it?
It was delightful.
Delightful. Great helmet, so.
Yep.
But the future, what about the future costumes? We've talked about this before, how you can't really give them bright, garish colors because
uh-huh.
you stand out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You'll be found pretty
uh-huh.
pretty quickly. But there's shades of it, though. You see on Wolverine's costume, there's like blue and yellow on the arms. Mm-hmm. And he's got like a battle armor over the top of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense because he heals or whatever. Or it does. Extra protection. Why not?
Sure. sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I found this interesting though. Mystique. And I think this had something to do with getting Jennifer Lawrence back and now that how much she has grown as a star since 2011.
Uh-huh.
It used to be 7 hours to put that costume on.
Right.
Of standing there and people just like painting and putting layers of like, what are they called? Scales on them and whatever.
Uh-huh.
And now it's just a bodysuit from the neck down.
Right, right.
And you can see it, that it is. But it looks great, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's a sort of a case of, you know, both her star has risen, so she shouldn't be expected to sit around for 7 hours to do that. But at the same time, the costume tech has improved a lot.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Exactly.
So that's lucky.
Yeah.
Because it could have been the worst.
But why wouldn't they just do that in the first place, though? You could just...
Yeah. What did you think of the future just generally? Like the look of the future?
I liked it. I thought it was really cool. Mm. I mean, it's kind of a Terminator-esque kind of kind of future with a bit more kind of color in parts or whatever. Like it was kind of purpley-bluey kind of kind of look. No, I really enjoyed
Me
it.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's a shame we probably won't see any more of that. Like, that's it, really.
Right.
But hey, there you go. Now, Mason, let's spoil this from here.
Okay, let's spoil this from here.
This is...
It's torture, isn't it? Yeah, exactly. You did your little review on your little
YouTube. I did, you're right. Well, I nearly put here, let's just spoil the whole thing. But, you know, I know some people didn't get a chance to see it, so I don't want to, you know.
Hey, if you haven't seen it...
Yeah.
Not you, but the listeners. If you haven't listened to the last few episodes, maybe go back and give those a spin.
Sure.
Because when we lost your YouTube account, we lost a lot of downloads.
Oh, we did.
So if you're like, well, I don't want to listen to this whole episode because it's just going to be spoilers and I haven't seen the movie yet, go back a few.
Yeah,
they're pretty entertaining.
They're okay.
They're mildly entertaining.
They're fine.
Sure. I mean, we were super depressed because nobody was listening to them.
They still did all right.
Yeah,
we still got about 10,000, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. But let's spoil this.
Well, I just wanted to quickly say as well, on the topic of my YouTube account, apparently that old one is gone. It's deleted. Huh. The guy I had looking into it said they just deleted it. It's gone.
Wow.
I'm like,
harsh.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
So yeah. But you know, it's all coming back. Mm. Anyway, spoilers.
Okay.
Do you think it successfully retconned the series? Now, the idea behind this movie was that it retconned Wolverine Origins and X-Men 3 specifically. But because of the changes this made, it retconned everything.
That's true, yeah.
Because the events of X-Men 1 wouldn't have happened the way they played out,
uh-huh.
or 2, and etc.
I'm okay with it. Like, you know, when if we're talking comic books, when, you know, the DC universe, you know, the universe is reset, all the old stories are still there.
Yeah.
But they did it in the context of the story.
Yeah.
So all those stories still happened, but this extra layer over the top. Like with Star Trek.
Exactly.
They J.J. Abrams this. Essentially what they did is they changed the timeline, but they did it within the story, so they can essentially do whatever they want.
Does that mean, do you think Magneto then became like a good guy, or Mystique became a good guy, girl, because of this?
Probably not.
Sure.
I reckon they're going to be villains again.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Well, because they might have to band to fight somebody else, Mason.
Oh.
We'll talk about that later, spoiler alert.
Okay, great.
Even though we're talking about spoilers. Do you care about the changes that it made from the comics? I just recently reread it. Maybe I'd read it years ago, but I read it just the other day.
Uh-huh.
Because I did a video on Easter eggs.
Not especially. I think the changes or the things that always stick out to me, especially the X-Men films, are the inexplicable parts.
Yeah.
Like, I understand there's going to be some, but it would be nice, especially for maybe casual viewers, to explain what happened. Like, Shadowcat can now send people's minds back in time.
That has never, ever been a thing.
Right, exactly. Maybe explain that it's a secondary mutation.
Yep, sure.
Why can she do that now?
Yeah, can't do it in the comics.
Right.
Well, that's one of the changes, because in the comics, she
goes back
in
time. Right.
And a woman called, what's her name? I can't remember. But she sends her mind
back. Rachel Summers, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. So, I mean, I guess they didn't want to build a $230 million movie around a woman, I guess.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, I guess that's...
Especially a teeny tiny little Canadian woman.
That's right. I mean, I get why they... Of course they got to pull out Wolverine, because it makes sense to do
Also,
and he's the biggest character.
And also, they couldn't have sent her back in time because she wasn't alive.
Oh, well, exactly.
In 1973.
Yep.
Secondly, we know that Wolverine gets his claws back.
Yes.
Like his adamantium claws back.
I was going to ask you about that.
Do you want to speculate?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm going to guess. Because they're actually also, the future versions are slightly different from the normal ones. And I don't think it's a case of the CGI's gotten better.
Mm.
But they've got like a scalloped top edge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have a look at the poster. You'll see it's got a little curved edge on the top.
Nah, I don't really. I'm actually...
Don't look at posters. My assumption is going to be that, well, he clearly gets the adamantium back.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume maybe Apocalypse does it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to assume that Magneto did it.
Well, there's certainly two options, aren't they? We'll never know, because you know what? They'll never explain it.
No, they won't.
He'll just have his claws back at the start of X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And no one will say a word.
This is what I'm talking about, though. Like, they say they retconned it, whatever, and they've fixed all the continuity errors. But they haven't.
No, absolutely not.
They fixed some. But to be fair, though, Bryan Singer did say, look, we fixed some.
Right.
But you know what, though? Look, if I was making these movies, heaven forbid, I know I wouldn't do a good job. But there's one thing I noticed, and you're the same about this, is... I notice continuity.
Right.
I don't mean to notice. I'm not looking for it.
Right.
But I can see it.
Here's the biggest one.
Yeah.
And this is from X-Men 3, but Patrick Stewart exploded. Like,
dust.
Professor X, he was turned to dust in X-Men 3. Now, we know that his mind was transferred into the brain-dead comatose person.
Yeah.
Comatose man of the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And at the end of, after the credits in X-Men 3, he woke up.
Yeah.
And it was assumed that he was in there. So the missing piece is, why does he look like Professor X again?
Yeah.
And why does he need a wheelchair again?
Twin brother.
Great.
Atrophy.
Satan broke his legs again.
Atrophy.
Great.
From being in a coma.
Yeah. Good. Really good point. Genius.
Thank you.
Thank you for
but
no,
yeah, look,
thank
I
you
would,
for no prizing that.
You're welcome. Oh, there's another question I was going to ask you later. But yeah, I feel like they could have touched on that.
Yeah. I think probably why they did that though.
Why explain something that nobody saw? Because
yeah,
most
yeah.
people wouldn't have seen that.
Yeah, I guess
I'd
so.
Imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Most people
anyway,
would have
sorry, go on.
Yeah. Apparently, because after the Wolverine, mm-hmm. in that deleted scene, Wolverine is coming through the airport and we see Magneto and Professor X and they've teamed up.
Yep.
And X is in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's a version of that. Like, the leaked script for that said that Professor X was standing in that scene. So apparently they may have filmed two.
Okay.
And that would have made more sense.
Absolutely.
But I think probably what happened is they went, James McAvoy isn't in a wheelchair in the past. We need a point of difference.
Yeah.
Let's put him in a wheelchair in the future, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair point.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'll go with atrophied legs. That's fine. That's
okay,
totally fine.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm also super glad he has his floaty wheelchair.
Oh, yeah. It's good, isn't it?
In the present day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look, compared to the comic, though, I just wanted to say, it's really Days of Future Past in name only.
More or less.
Yeah. I'm
that's
fine.
What 1998 Godzilla was called, Gino. G-I-N-O.
Godzilla,
that's
right.
In name
was
only.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I mean, I'm okay with changing the source material.
Dopfino? Yeah. Days of Future Past in name only.
I'm okay.
That's its little nickname.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm okay with these kind of changes, especially to service the world that they've built in the movies.
Yep.
They cannot make Days of Future Past as it is in the comics because of, like you said, for example, this is set in the 70s and the mid-2020s or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can't do that.
Right.
Because so, I think, what was it? The original one was set in the 80s, is that right?
I think it was set in, it would have been the present, so it would have been like 1980.
Yeah,
I
cool.
think. So yeah, that's not an interesting decade.
No.
Although I would like to see the, I would have liked to see the X-Men in the 80s.
Well, we're going to see it.
Great.
So,
oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I get it.
But we will talk
big
about
shoulders.
That in a, that's right.
The biggest.
Now, also, Rogue was supposed to be in this film. She was briefly at the end.
No speaking roles? Did she say anything?
No, I don't think she said anything. But there was a scene deleted where Iceman and Magneto go to rescue her. Because you know there's a bit where Wolverine's like, then he's slashing about.
Yeah, yep.
And he cuts Kitty Pryde or Shadow Cat, whatever you want to call her. And she's slowly fading. So they're like, she's fucked.
Yep.
Let's go get Rogue. And so
to
they
absorb her powers.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
Over. Okay, right. Mm-hmm.
And so they go to, and she's being held at the Xavier School.
You would think they would have gotten her first because she's sort of invincible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's a whole scene where Bobby Drake and Magneto go and get her, which we'll probably see on the deleted DVD.
Uh-huh.
I think that you could have put that in. I mean, it's a pretty long movie.
I would have been flagging by the end there.
But I wanted more future stuff, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but hey.
Did you want more Storm?
No.
Great. Just checking.
Nothing against Storm or the character or Halle Berry or whatever, but I, no.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want more Storm?
Not really.
Yeah.
No.
Did you like it when the Sentinels just butchered all the X-Men?
That was pretty fun, yeah. Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah,
it happened twice. Uh-huh. Happened at the start, happens at the end.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I've got a few things here that I liked here. I got the opening scene, I talked about that. Uh-huh. I like the fact that you send Wolverine through the past, to the past, right? And he's not really equipped to deal with something like that. Like, he's not like the kind of guy who can coax somebody to be the best he can be.
Right,
he's just
kind
of like, I don't really want to do this, but I have to do it. So he's kind of like making the best of a bad situation.
Uh-huh.
And he knows that he's not the best person for this job.
Right, exactly.
But he's kind of pushing through and whatever. I enjoyed that. Hugh Jackman, you can't fault him.
Exactly. I enjoyed the, there were some nice little jokes to break the tension talking about Wolverine.
Yeah.
The bit where he goes to the metal detector and he's quite, quite happy to find that he's not magnetic anymore.
And even though he knows that he's not magnetic, right?
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't really do that in real life. But it's funny. It's a nice little nod. And there's also a scene like that in the first X-Men, you know, where he goes through and he, like, claws it.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I remember that.
Good joke?
Yeah.
Great joke. I like young Charles and Magneto. Great relationship between those two. Magneto kind of did the thing where he went a bit crazy for kind of no reason.
Right,
like, they were like, he's like, well, instead of, I don't know, trying to stop this from happening, what I'm going to do, I'm going to threaten the president. And that'll cause everybody to step down.
You know it will.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, uh-huh.
I mean, he's unstable. Uh-huh. Like, we know that about uh-huh. him. But he's smarter than that, right? I guess he's not.
Well, he's young Magneto. He's brash.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Shades of the Dark Knight Rises, I thought, with the football stadium.
Okay, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we gotta talk about Quicksilver, right?
Yep, absolutely. That's probably my favorite action sequence in the film.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree also. Mm-hmm. Terrible costume.
Still the worst costume. I don't understand.
And
why?
It's the hair. It's everything.
It's everything it's about everything. It.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But he was great. Some people, yeah. I know most people love it. Some people say he was a bit annoying. Like he was a bit kind of all over the shop. But he's supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
He's supposed to be irritating. Mm-hmm. But I like his interaction with like young Professor X. And, you know, he's just kind of like, I don't like this guy. He's the worst.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And what an amazing.
I think Marvel Studios would be looking at that and thinking we have to step up with our version of Quicksilver because that is, you know, they've set the bar, I think.
Yeah.
In fact, I think they've set the bar for all high speed, all super speedsters from this point forward. The Flash TV series.
It's really, it's going to have to do that sweet 48 frames per second and whatever. But what a clever scene.
The Whizzer radio serial that I'm writing. Just a lot of high-speed description.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And he ran faster than a car. So fast that he overtook that car. The car didn't even realize what was happening. Is that right?
Have you read my script?
Yeah, I also... we'll talk about that a bit more, I guess. It's good. I mean, people say, should he have been in it more? Yeah, probably.
He should have been in it. Well, that's the thing.
Because he was useful.
He was very useful. He would have come in really handy. He could have gotten on that plane.
Yeah.
He could have zipped past him because he's super fast.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't really seen an X-Men like that before, have we? We've seen teleportation and whatever, but not him. Yeah, and they also reference that he's Magneto's son briefly. Also, you know, there's a bit where you see his sister, and it was thought that it was Scarlet Witch, right? Uh-huh. Even though they're supposed to be twins or whatever.
Right, right, right.
Then Bryan Singer came out recently and said, no, that's not Scarlet Witch, that's another sister. I actually deleted a line where... they mention a sister sitting upstairs, and that's the real Scarlet Witch or whatever. I think that's bullshit. I think that was supposed to be Scarlet Witch, and he just changed that at the last minute.
Well, I think that's fair because... Well, not fair. I think the Scarlet Witch, I'm assuming, is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Because her powers are all over the shop.
Yeah.
She's
magic, isn't she?
Well, technically she alters probability, so she can make the most improbable things happen.
Okay,
but that's to the point of like total nonsense. Like,
yeah,
how improbable would it be if that wall turned into antimatter? Really improbable. Well, now it's happened, right? Doesn't make any sense. It's that sort of, and I think at some point she's acquired actual magical ability.
Yeah,
and they've all sort of mixed. It doesn't. Her powers don't make any sense.
Yeah,
and that would have. Thrown a whole kind of spanner into the works, I think, of the whole.
Yeah.
You want, I think, for this kind of movie, if you're putting in time travel as well, you want more or less straightforward powers.
Yeah.
He can control magnetism, he's got claws.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
You get it.
You get it.
Well, that's another thing about here. I thought the time travel wasn't as convoluted, I should say, as I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was very, very straightforward. Yep. An idiot could understand that time travel.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is how, I guess, broad mainstream time travel should be.
Yeah.
You know?
If we can step out of movie for a second, it was a little bit Assassin's Creed.
Okay, go on.
No, because that's...
Oh, you put your mind in the thing?
Put your mind in the past.
Okay, fair point.
And when he became agitated, or he became upset, the synchronization went out, and he potentially would have gone back into the future.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, so they stole that.
I know.
Square Enix, you should get your lawyers on the phone and... get your suing hats on.
Also, the story for Assassin's Creed sucks. No one cares about the future. You guys are fucking idiots.
Putting your foot down on that series that's clearly dead now. Great.
So much, but they should just make him in the past. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, yeah. All right.
That's all I'm saying.
We've talked about this
I've
before.
I've stopped playing him. I'm sick of him. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, not as convoluted as I thought it would be. And, you know, they solved the fact that every time Wolverine did something, it would alter the future by saying, no, when he wakes up, then
everything
will change
back. Yeah, exactly.
That was a clever way to do it.
Yeah.
It probably doesn't make any sense. I don't care.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. No, it doesn't have to. See, that's the thing. It doesn't have to make sense, like, by the laws of physics or by the law, whatever. All I have to do is make a rule and stick to the rule.
Exactly. Like Looper.
No, Looper didn't do that. You're baiting me. I don't like it. No, it's fine. I knew you were going to do that. I'm not really mad. All I have to do, with any kind of sci-fi or any kind of fantasy, you make a rule, you stick to the rule, and everything works out. It doesn't matter what the rule is.
Yeah, so I completely agree.
They said he wakes up and time snaps back, and that's what happened.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. I've also got here...
What do you think about the finale regarding that? Did you think it was a little contrived? How
yeah,
everything came to the last
was.
Kind of point,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, it was nice to see, like... Scott Summers and whatever in the old school back or whatever.
Oh, no, I meant more the last battle sequence. Like,
oh, no, I didn't like that, actually.
How the futures, they're going to die in the future, but yeah. They're all going to die. She's going to kill him in the past.
No.
It's all going to come to the last nanosecond. Didn't. And Wolverine's going to die, and then he dies, it's going to snap back. I think that was a little much. Yeah.
I agree. And I felt like it was trying to go for a kind of really kind of like... powerful, like emotional punch.
Yep.
Like, what a big choice everybody's going to make at this last second. Like First Class in a way.
Yeah.
But First Class did it much better.
Yeah.
I think it. Yeah. I know. No, I didn't really care for it. Yeah. It was fine.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they did it though. So.
Yeah, they sure did. We can't stop them. We can't go back in time and stop that, can we? No.
I just meant good on them. They did it.
They saved the world. Yeah. Yeah. That's also great. Be great.
Kind of a bit of a. I'd say anti-climax. I know him lifting the stadium was supposed to be like the big thing, but it didn't feel that way.
Not at all.
I mean, it was a big thing,
yeah,
but it didn't. Yeah, didn't feel the stakes.
Yeah.
But how did you like it? How they Professor X'd Professor X
right from the start, right out of the gate, he got Professor X, didn't he? For new listeners, that's when they get the most powerful character potentially and take him out of the picture.
Yes,
in a really contrived manner, which in this case was. They fixed his legs with a serum and it took his psychic powers away.
Yeah, absolutely. That was, I mean, that works, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
But because it suppresses beastness.
Uh-huh.
But it does. But it
doesn't grow him extra legs, does it?
No, it doesn't. But yeah, did you like the old kind of worn out Charles Xavier?
Yeah, but I thought it was interesting they didn't put him in a wheelchair. From the start.
Okay.
Surely that was the plan at the end of First Class.
I'll have him in the wheelchair and then say, look, take the serum, we've got to run around and stuff.
Maybe not even that, but why did he have to have legs just generally?
I guess.
Largely unnecessary, yeah.
Good point. I mean, I guess nobody wants to see young James McAvoy rolling around in a wheelchair, I guess.
That's probably it, yeah.
Well, that's what they think.
Yeah.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like the way they balanced that with, though, he'd given up his powers for that? Do you think that was an interesting choice?
Yeah, again, they've set the rule and they've stuck to it, so I guess that makes sense.
Sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also liked, Mason, that it wasn't as Wolverine-centric as I thought it would be.
Mm.
It was very Wolverine, but even in the finale...
He didn't save the day.
No, they just tossed him aside.
Yeah, into the ocean.
Yeah.
They literally tossed him into the ocean.
What, with what happened there, right, how Mystique picked him up.
Yep.
And then she just like, congratulations, you're free.
What? I think that... They just wanted a twist there. I think they just want... Because we are assuming that when Stryker picks him up, that he is going to somehow shunt him into the Weapon X project.
Why not do that?
Well, I think they were just... Because I think they just wanted us fanboys to go, oh, this is going to lead into the arc twist. I genuinely think that's what they wanted to do. They just wanted a quick twist at the end.
See, I just thought, why not make it Stryker?
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
Twist at the end.
Twist at the end.
Double twist.
Yeah, look, I thought it was more of a fun romp than anything else. I think, like I said, it lacks the emotional punch of First Class is. Mm-hmm. Like, that last bit in First Class where they stop the Cuban Missile Crisis and Magneto has got all the missiles and he's holding them back and he lifts the submarine or whatever.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is, yeah.
Right? And I can see they were trying to do that.
Which reminds me, a lot of people are asking us to do that First Class.
I know. We've got to get around to it. Yeah, I know.
Look, as soon as we've got a day free from being hotshot lawyers, which is our jobs, we'll get to that.
We are
the podcast equivalent. We are the Franklin and Bash of podcasts. We're both the loose cannon. So who's to say? So there's no dynamic at all because we're the same. But we'll get to that as soon as we get a chance.
I hope
that,
so. Yeah.
While the iron's hot.
I'm surprised how many people have asked. Yeah, I didn't think anyone would care. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I feel like, and with Magneto, as I said, his goals are very unclear. Like maybe instead of like threatening the president and lifting a stadium, he could have
threatened a stadium and lifted a president. Right? Is that That's where you're right. going with this?
Exactly what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. No, that he could have maybe convinced everybody that he didn't kill JFK.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that mean that he's less of a threat then?
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, I don't know.
Mm.
But I wanted to say earlier
was... Exactly. They still think he killed the president.
Yeah, exactly.
So now That's he's right. a wanted fugitive who killed a president.
And tried to kill another president.
Oh, yeah. He's killed... Yeah.
But I feel like this movie gets more credit than it should.
Uh-huh.
Not to say it's bad. It's not. people praising Bryan Singer for like reinvigorating the franchise. But this is built off the back of First Class and the Wolverine.
Right.
X3 and Origins buried this franchise, right?
Boy, did that.
Bryan Singer did not bring it back. Matthew Vaughn brought it back, right? Mm-hmm. With an amazing X-Men film, which I still think is the best X-Men film. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you say, Mason.
Sorry. Steady on, mate.
And not to say Bryan Singer didn't make a great movie, but he didn't assemble the First Class cast. Mm-hmm. He didn't cast Jennifer Lawrence and James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender and make that amazing movie. Because this movie doesn't work without that movie.
That's very
everything true. We know about those characters. And the reason now these younger characters are going to take over the franchise, that is not Bryan Singer's work. Again, I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying this franchise was already reinvigorated, I feel, before this movie.
Right. So
even though people didn't notice as much.
Do you think this is a step down then?
No, not at all. I think it just kind of continues along. Mm. What do you think?
Okay. No, I see your point there. Yeah. Okay. You're right. I think it is a fun romp.
Yeah.
It's more, it's a fun romp. We rebooted everything. Let's just start again.
Let's do it again. Yeah. Did you like that at the end, though? We briefly touched on it, how everybody's back.
I'm glad James Marsden is back.
Yeah, me too.
I enjoy his work.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they probably won't use him again, but...
He'll probably get killed again straight away. Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah.
Apocalypse just knocks his head off.
How good was it, though, to see Kelsey Grammer?
As Beast again.
I did not know he was in this.
Yeah, me neither.
But it was all over the internet. Apparently everybody knew this, but I didn't know that. Neither it was great. I, yeah. So it was really, really cool.
And he was all,
So yeah, I've also got here, Mason. I've got questions for Mason. Oh, is there anything else you want to say? We are going to talk post credits and whatever.
Okay, no. No, I think that's it.
Cool.
I think generally speaking, as soon as a thought comes to me, I'll just say it.
Yeah, so, go
as
for
as usual.
It. Well, these might raise some thoughts, Mason.
Okay, I'm ready. So these are questions for me.
Yes.
From
well,
you?
One's from Zeke Smith, and the rest are from me,
okay.
And just things I've picked up on the internet.
Okay, right.
Concerning Star Wars Episode 2, when
was
the cloning
prisoner?
Okay, this is from Zeke. The use of Mystique's DNA allows the future Sentinels to adapt to mutant powers. Mm-hmm. That's not consistent with her actual powers, he's saying. Does that make sense?
No. But I had a question about the Sentinels.
Sure.
I'm going to hit your question with a question.
We should talk about the Sentinels. Yeah.
Where did they go between 1973?
That was one of my questions for Mason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did they go between 1973 and the future?
Well, we saw one of their heads in the Danger Room.
Okay, so my thinking is, if we're gonna fix this,
yep.
Maybe. I mean, it's weird that they don't get mentioned.
Yeah,
certainly, but maybe they were used. This is in the Days of Future Past continuity. This isn't the reset continuity. Mm. So in the reset continuity, Bolivar Trask isn't killed.
No,
and the Sentinel Project is cancelled.
Yes.
Mainly because it went crazy because Magneto used it to attempt to kill everybody.
Apparently he can reprogram things as well.
No, doesn't he just pull up a whole bunch of...
I thought he changed all the circuitry because they were like targeting...
That's actually a really good point. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So go on.
Yeah. I guess in the reset continuity, the project fails and they just, I guess, they all get destroyed.
Yeah.
But in the original one, the X-Men 1, 2, 3, the First Class universe.
Yeah.
They're built.
Mm-hmm.
Trask is killed.
Yes.
And I guess they just maybe use them in skirmishes or something like that.
Like
minor little things, and they're sort of in the background, or maybe they're used occasionally, but the project keeps moving.
Well, I guess maybe they're not as successful as they need to be.
Right.
And that's only when they got to the point where they can replicate powers or whatever. I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just didn't think of it.
Right.
That's basically the only real
reason. What are we going to do with these? You know, just... Have them serve coffee in the White House commissary.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
I loved the Future Sentinels. I know people don't love the look or whatever, but they are terrifying. Mm-hmm. And they can just wipe out a team of X-Men like it's nothing.
Right.
And they can adapt on the fly and whatever. The past ones, though, not as threatening.
No.
And not only because Magneto could control them or whatever, but they just weren't.
They were super fun looking, though.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
they had a fun 70s style.
They did.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Did you like the future ones, the way they kind of like could turn into Colossus and whatever?
Absolutely, I did.
Yeah, yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. Is that one of the questions?
No, that was just general thoughts. But Mystique, as we know, can replicate people, but not like we see in the first X-Men, she replicates Wolverine's claws.
And he just cuts them off.
Cuts right through
them.
So they shouldn't have like the metal skin or the diamond skin, which they can do. So Zeke's right, I think.
He is right, but villains don't have to make any sense. And again, they've established the rule. All we need to know is that Mystique's DNA enabled them to do that.
Yeah.
That we don't know how many processes were in the middle of that.
Okay.
It could have been 1,000.
Could have been one.
Could have been just the one. Oh, if we just turn it to the left. Oh, we can do it now. That's great.
All right. Now,
we're really good at this science stuff.
It's Charles Xavier, right, is the question. He was a telepath since he was, what, 9 or 10?
Yeah.
Why is he suddenly not okay with being a telepath and he can't handle it? When he had a real good grasp of those powers.
It's a real good point, actually, yeah.
Emotional breakdown?
Probably. Probably that bullet in his spine probably did it.
Sure. How about this one? So Magneto, they think...
Why is it that in the closing sequence of X-Men First Class...
Yeah.
Like, previously, people are shooting at Magneto or whatever, and he's just stopping the bullets.
Yeah.
Why at the end is he deflecting the bullets? Completely unnecessary. He could have just stopped him. Professor X would have been fine.
Doesn't look as cool, though, does
it? Yeah, it's actually a really good point. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Well, on the topic of Magneto, though.
Magnets.
Magnets.
He's got magnets in his pockets.
What?
Oh, that's how he does it.
Oh, good. Thank you. Another question, though.
Yep.
I think he killed Kennedy. Indirectly, right?
Uh-huh.
He says that he tried to stop the Kennedy assassination, and then he was taken down. I think that he curved the bullet accidentally, and it hit Kennedy.
Oh, interesting.
Because he would have...
Why else would the bullet have curved?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing about the bent bullet conspiracy or whatever. Uh-huh. So that bullet was going to miss Kennedy, and he curved it into his head.
He definitely... Well, I mean, in this universe, there definitely was a curved bullet.
Yes. There's a whole lot of viral stuff about it as well. There's the bent bullet conspiracy.
Do you mean in real life?
Yeah, like if you... No, the viral stuff about this movie.
Oh, right,
where it's
right,
like the bent bullet conspiracy.
Oh, interesting.
It's
okay,
called... Yeah. I mean, in relation to the X-Men movies.
Okay,
so,
right, gotcha.
Yeah,
it does seem like he killed him, doesn't it? Because otherwise, why would the bullet bend?
Yeah, exactly.
Surely the bullet... The only reason for the bullet to bend is if he was if he was killed with a straight bullet, that would have meant he failed.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah.
Yes.
If the bullet had missed and the conspiracy theorists had gone, oh, the bullet bent in its flight path, then he would have had a hand in saving him.
Yes.
But since the bullet bent and he was killed, Magneto did kill him. You're right.
Yes.
Okay, good point.
Ah, the best.
Yeah.
All right.
Weird they keep changing. In Watchmen.
Yeah.
In the movie, it was clearly implied that... Well, it wasn't implied. It was flat out
shown.
It was flat out shown that the comedian killed Kennedy.
Yes.
In the original comic books, it's very heavily implied he had something to do with it.
Oh, okay.
But in the before Watchmen, he's somewhere else when the assassination takes place.
Oh, okay.
So he definitely didn't do it.
That's weird.
I know, right?
Fair enough.
Odd.
I would ask, on the topic of Magneto, though.
Yes.
When Matthew Vaughn was going to make this movie, after First Class came out, he said, look, I've got a great idea for an opening scene for the next X-Men movie, which was going to be this.
Dance sequence.
And that basically he was going to do the Kennedy assassination with Magneto killing the president.
Interesting.
Of course, I think they went, though, we can't have a guy who's supposed to be sympathetic kill one of the most popular presidents of all time.
Right.
So they changed it to he accidentally killed the president.
Right. That's true. Logically, there's no way out of this. You're right.
Yeah.
You have, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did it.
Yeah.
Another question. What's with Cyclops' future glasses? Was that a joke?
I'll address that in a second. Yes. I was going to say it's odd when you have a character who's supposed to be a villain and then they acquire sort of heroic qualities, especially during... like Magneto.
Sure.
Like now he's in many ways a hero. Like he's a conflicted kind of anti-hero kind of character. I was thinking about the Mortal Kombat games.
Okay.
Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
So in the first Mortal Kombat, there's two ninjas.
Yes.
There's three, but whatever. There's two, Sub-Zero and Scorpion, right?
Yeah.
And Sub-Zero...
We're talking Mortal Kombat movie? We're talking Mortal Kombat the web series? We're talking Mortal Kombat on Game Boy Color.
Collectible card game. Okay. No, we're talking about the movie.
Sure.
We're talking about the video game, right?
Yeah, okay.
Sub-Zero killed a man and his family.
Yes.
And then that man ended up in like the underworld.
Yes.
And then he made a deal with some sort of devil to come back.
Yeah.
as Scorpion, and that's why he's yellow.
Yes.
Because he's Sub-Zero. He looks exactly like Sub-Zero, but he's saying that Sub-Zero is a coward.
Yeah.
That's why he wears the yellow, right?
Originally.
Yeah. So, well, that was the original storyline. Like, yeah. Scorpion's back for revenge.
Yeah.
But then after a while, Sub-Zero became sort of the default most popular character.
Well, the Sub-Zero in Mortal Kombat 2 is his Sub-Zero's brother.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, the point is, you can cut all this out, it's fine.
No.
All right. But like many years later, they're like, well, he's the most popular character. We can't have him be like someone who murders your family.
Yeah.
So we have to change it. So they got Quan Chi.
Yeah.
Like the shapeshifter. And they were like, well, he pretended to be Sub-Zero and then he killed Scorpion's family. Because they were like, well, let's make it so he's a good guy now.
Yeah, well, isn't Goro a good guy now as well?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, Freddy Krueger's a playable character now. And he's a child. They don't know what they're doing, right?
That's right. Weird. They don't.
Yeah.
Basically, though, Magneto killed a guy.
Yeah.
The president.
Yes.
Not just a guy.
Whoops. Anyway, what's with Cyclops? Yeah, they're weird, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're much weirder than his previous glasses. They're like...
I don't know what's the future. It's 10 years from now, but that will never be a look.
Never be a look. People would... Like, even though, like, he always used to have, like, he had his visor, and yeah. then he had, like, his kind of Oakley sunglasses.
Yeah.
Which were not cool.
No.
But you'd be like, there's a guy wearing some sunglasses. But in this, you'd be like, why is that guy wearing a future visor? Is he going to a Gary Newman concert? What's going on?
Is he related to Geordi LaFour?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. Dumb.
How much gold-pressed latinum did that cost, those glasses?
But yeah. Got another question, Mason?
I'm ready.
The Walkman was invented in 1973.
The Walkman. Uh-huh.
Where did Quicksilver get a Walkman from?
Stole it.
But this was set in the late 70s. 78.
Hang on, when was the Walkman invented?
73.
But it was set in 73.
No, it was set in 78.
Was it?
It was after the Vietnam War. Wasn't it?
So what's your point?
My point is, where did he get the Walkman?
Well, he bought it. You said it was invented in 73.
Wait, sorry. I'm going to start again.
Okay.
This movie was set in 1973. You are right.
Correct.
The Walkman was invented in 78.
Oh.
I'm an idiot.
Right.
Where'd he get it? And then I just thought to myself, then maybe you stole the prototype.
There you go. Bingo.
You going to count that one as a win to you?
Yes.
Okay.
I did the bingo hands.
You did.
Yeah.
You did. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've got any more.
Got you on a technical.
Well, I've got why is Xavier alive? We talked about that. I got here. Where are the Sentinels? All that time we talked about that. How about this question? Did you like it how...
I like how this is opinion-based, this last question. Okay, I'm ready.
Do you like how at the end Magneto lifted a big thing, echoing Superman lifting a big thing in Superman Returns?
Yes, I did. I actually thought of that earlier when you were talking about lifting a big thing.
Oh, really?
Like a climax of somebody lifting a big thing.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I feel like I gave that away then. Mm, damn yeah. it. Let's talk post-credits, Mason.
Okay.
Apocalypse.
Yep.
Now... If you watched that not knowing anything about the X-Men, would that be a very confusing scene?
Yeah, because they don't say it's set in the past.
Nope.
Like, we see him building the pyramid.
Yeah.
But that he could just be building a pyramid just over there. Oh, he is, over there. Yeah, see?
Should we stop him?
Yeah. He could be in a weird religious cult.
Yep.
In the present.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I think it is implied to be in the past.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I mean, okay. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
He looked like Blue Michael Cera.
Correct.
Mm.
A lot of people said, who was that woman?
Oh, really?
Like, some people who don't know the X-Men said to me, who was that woman?
But
it's just a younger man.
Because only women wear cloaks? Is that?
That's probably it, yeah.
Okay.
And because he had a shaved head, like women, you know?
Like women.
Like women generally.
Yeah. Now, that basically said, though, oh, I had one more question for you, Mason.
It's too late.
All right, we'll come back to it.
No,
I'll save this for after we talk about Apocalypse.
Okay, right.
Now, I asked you prior to this show,
yep.
I said, Mason... can you talk about Apocalypse and tell the listeners about Apocalypse?
Uh-huh.
And you said, yeah.
I did say that. I was very enthusiastic in that way. Sure. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I feel like you got a better grasp on it than I do. You read of that big era of comics in the 90s with Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And I did not because I was too busy, collecting Super Mario Brothers, the movie cards.
Great.
Which I did collect. I still have them somewhere.
You still have all the gum too.
You know what the weird thing is though?
You made a Koopa out of chewing gum. Yes?
I've never seen that movie.
And yet you have all the cards.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Do you want to see it?
No.
Don't see it.
I've seen bits of it.
Right.
Anyway.
Mm. Okay, go. What was your question?
Yeah, Apocalypse.
Something about Apocalypse.
Yeah, what's
you
going
know?
On?
Didn't you play Marvel vs. Capcom?
Yeah, I actually have a copy of that.
X-Men versus Street Fighter?
Yeah, look, with those games, though, I know they're beloved and whatever. I find them incredibly complicated. And at one point when I play them, the whole screen flashes and I die.
Yep.
And I don't know what happened. And sometimes I'm fighting a guy who's half the size of the screen.
Yep. That was that the X-Men versus Street Fighter, the first Marvel versus Capcom, those ones.
The
Marvel Superheroes versus... Wait, doesn't matter. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
They're your classic button mashers.
Okay.
Your dilemma there was you paused briefly. What you should have done is just swung the joystick wildly and smashed all the buttons and you would have won.
I thought there was skill to it.
I won many a battle back in the day against people just smashing all them buttons.
Oh, but I thought people were like counting frames because the experts do that.
Oh, right.
They know precisely where
to
stand.
Not on my turf. Yeah, that's probably what the experts do, but... Ugh. Anybody, if I were to ever be in an arcade and start a match with somebody like that, I'd just walk away. Like, frame one. Like, I'd see him twitch and hit me, and I'd be like, I'm done. Do whatever you want.
You're just going to hand the victory. Yeah. You'd rather that.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Mm. Now, Apocalypse, of course, he's... they could say he's the oldest mutant, but he's not the oldest mutant, is he? There's another one called Selene, I think is older. Is that
okay,
right?
Okay, sure, yeah.
I might
but she's
wrong.
Not very impressive.
So. No, well, that's right, exactly. She's not. Mm. Apocalypse, who's got a much better name as well.
Yeah, totally, so. Selene. And also, I don't really know anything about Selene.
Okay, so, cool.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce, that's your topic for next week.
Oh, good. Research. All about Selene. Well, yeah, I mean, what do you want to know? Give me, I'm not going to read off a thing.
No,
just
of course
give
not.
Give me some questions okay, about
Apocalypse. Okay, what are his origins? What are his powers?
Okay, well, he was like many mutants, he's just a mutant.
Yeah.
Like that's, he's born with it.
Okay.
I mean, you think maybe it's Maybelline, but he's just born with it. Okay. But he sort of, it's one of those things they're going to have to kind of cut out a lot of the actual continuity because a lot of it relates to like the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
And kind of... the Celestials and stuff like that. Like, he was born under the rule of Ramatut, who is... He is like a descendant of Reed Richards from the 30th century.
Really?
Who developed time travel technology. And he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to ancient Egypt and rule the world. And so he did that. But and I'm going to wear a loincloth and a big headdress.
Because that's better?
Yeah, because that's better. Future? Yeah, better than the future, yeah.
Not true.
Not at all, no. Ridiculous. Do you want to see a picture of Ramatut?
Absolutely,
there
I do.
He is.
Oh, wow.
Nice headdress, right?
What's his power, aside from looking like a real dumb prick?
that's it. You've nailed it. He's just got, you know, all that time travel stuff.
Was he, this is a dumb question, and excuse me for not knowing my ancient Egyptian history, was Ramatut a real guy?
I don't think so.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
But he's, like, Reed Richards has, like, a million parallel universe descendants. Like, Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah.
Also a version of this guy.
Oh, really?
A lot of time travel, a lot of nonsense. Okay. But anyway,
so he was born under the reign of this guy.
Yeah, and eventually he developed his mutant powers, which are essentially everything, like whatever he wants. And then he sort of overthrew this guy and acquired some of his technology. And so he's cyborg. He's a mutant and he's a cyborg.
Yeah.
And then eventually he finds a crashed celestial ship, and they're like the sort of super technological demigods in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And so he acquires some of their technology. So a lot of that's got to go, I think.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Is Cable going to be in Apocalypse?
Well, the thing is, though, because Apocalypse involves zero time travel.
Yep.
So you cannot put Cable in it unless it's young Cable.
Yeah, yeah.
And Apocalypse will be set in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
So
okay. There
you go.
But yeah, essentially Apocalypse's powers are... for whatever reason, despite the fact that he's the first mutant, and so his powers really should
Selene's
be like...
Selene's the first mutant, Mason.
Sorry. Shut up. Anyway, despite the fact that he's the second mutant, and his powers should be largely, like, unimpressive.
Yeah.
Like, it should be just like...
He can...
Like, he's got an extra joint in his thumb knuckle or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
Because that would be the first mutant. Why would it be the...
Well, it's like the first vampire from Blade.
Right.
You know, where he could do everything
Right. Well, Apocalypse is basically complete molecular control over himself, so he can... change size and shape and transform and make himself look like different people, or he can, you know, shoot energy blasts or, you know, turn invisible or teleport or fly or heaps of other stuff.
Okay. Was he a hero in the past? Did he overthrow this Reed Richards' dad or whatever?
I probably only to serve his own ends. I think he just wanted to rule.
Okay.
And so he could do that. But he can also, like, fly by, like, turning his... like legs into jets or whatever. Like he's kind of...
That sounds like something from the 90s.
Yeah, exactly, doesn't it? Like he can do that, or he can turn his arms into a helicopter, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But see, part of that is... And he's got like telekinesis and telepathy and whatever. A lot of that is some of that is probably like the technology part.
Okay, yeah.
So we might have to get rid of a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think in this he's probably just going to be have vast telekinetic powers.
He's a pretty powerful guy.
Yeah, he's just... Yeah. Just really, just got a threatening look about him.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. What I feel is interesting about this guy, you give all those powers, which is basically every power, to a hero, and nobody cares.
Right.
Like, that hero's and his exploits fall on deaf ears because you can't relate to him.
Right.
You give it to a villain,
yep.
and all of a sudden he's infinitely more, not infinitely more interesting, but he is more interesting because you have to find a way to stop that character.
Right, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, from that perspective, I think that's going to be good. So, I'm assuming, though, because of the events of Days of Future Past, something's altered in the timeline,
yep.
and they've awakened Apocalypse.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Is that how that works?
Well, I would assume... My assumption about Apocalypse is going to be that he has vast power. I mean, he probably will have shape-shifting and stuff like that, I'd say. Just not no tech powers.
Mm.
I would say that his powers are so vast that he exhausts himself or something like that.
Okay.
And then he has to go into hibernation for X thousands of years or what have you.
X-Men thousands of years.
Thank you, good. And whatever they've done, maybe not even timeline related, but maybe it's just his time to...
Yeah.
To return to Earth or whatever.
You know, okay.
To return from his slumber.
Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah.
What about these four horsemen?
Right, okay. And I think we talked about it briefly with Days of Future Past.
Yes.
Apparently, and I missed it.
Yeah.
You can see the horsemen.
You can.
Do you have a picture?
I actually do.
Ooh.
So there's girl Michael Sarah.
Great.
And there's the horseman.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, that's quite vague. I thought, okay, yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he acquires four individuals to do his bidding, and he can sort... In the
mutants, normally.
Normally mutants. And he uses his powers and his technology to give them additional, you know, powers and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like, he takes Angel.
Yeah.
And he gives him...
So if you take someone's fast, he'll make you... Pretty fast.
Yeah, real fast.
Oh, real fast.
And there's usually a lot of metal involved.
Okay.
And what it'd be, if you're fast, it'd make you super fast, but also you can throw knives. That's probably what you got.
And have a gun belt.
You have a gun belt, exactly. Like, in the comic books, Angel loses his wings. They get amputated by these guys, the Marauders, and Apocalypse gives him these metal wings.
And where it becomes,
which can shoot razors, as we've mentioned. Yeah, and he becomes Archangel, and he becomes...
Oh, that's how he becomes Archangel. So that's Archangel's origins.
Yeah, yeah,
oh, I didn't
yeah.
know
and
that.
He becomes,
okay.
I think, he's Death at some point?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, and so, and Wolverine becomes Death later on.
Yeah.
Now,
that's through brainwashing as well, I assume.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Or he's like, come on, how super fun would this be?
You just tell everybody I brainwashed you.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. But I'm guessing that... Maybe the X-Men take out... He's got a few... Maybe he needs to acquire some more horsemen.
Yeah.
Or he has his existing ones and they're old and weak and the X-Men destroy a couple.
Sure.
And then he needs a couple more, so he acquires Wolverine.
Yeah.
And he gives him the adamantium back.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Well, that would work.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Now, Simon Kinberg, the producer on this film, he said that the Apocalypse film, which will be due out May 27th, 2016... said that he's going to be, like, the darkest leader we've seen in the X-Men universe. So you've got your Professor X and Xavier, who are both... Well,
Professor X and Magneto.
Sorry, yeah. Professor X and
Magneto.
It's
been a long night.
It's your house.
Been here for an hour.
Yeah.
Oh.
One's a really good guy.
Yep.
One accidentally killed the president.
Sure.
But they're not completely evil.
Yep.
But the Apocalypse turns up going, well, look, you've seen what those guys offer you. I can offer you much, much more.
Uh-huh.
So that's apparently where the whole conflict is going to stem from.
Right,
so that's, you know... Something. Also, he likened it to a Roland Emmerich film in the sense there's going to be mass destruction. What I like about the X-Men films are they don't do mass destruction.
Right. Uh-huh.
Like, they don't need a bit at the end where they smash down a city. Like, they lift a big stadium. That's pretty good.
Do what you want. Lift a big stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Hmm. So that's what we've got to look forward to with the younger cast, which begs the question.
Yep.
We've seen the future now, right?
Uh-huh.
With Jean Grey alive and Scott Summers and whatever.
Yeah.
That means Apocalypse showed up and it wasn't a problem and everybody lived.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know it was set in the 80s.
Yeah.
My assumption was that we were going to see the Jean Grey, Cyclops, etc. team, the modern day team, fight Apocalypse, but that's not the case.
No.
So, yeah, ain't going to be a problem. Great.
For either of us.
No, certainly not.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fictional.
So there you go.
It's not real.
Now, Mason, I have to confess something.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to make a video about Apocalypse,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't want to research it, so I just thought, I'll just do this and put this into a video.
You son of a bitch. You're good, though. I tell you what.
I might not do it. I might do the Magneto kill the president bit.
That's probably better, actually. I mean, this was kind of half-assed. You're going to have to cut out a lot of ums and ahs. Or do a lot of fancy little animations.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, well said, though. That's enough. That's everything you'd really need to know about Apocalypse, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah.
Anything else
to Loves that? To make a pyramid.
He does.
Mm, yeah.
I thought that pyramid making looked pretty shit, to be honest. Like, I didn't think it was a great effect.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm.
My brother came out of the film. He sent me a message. Hang on, I'll bring it up. I can't even find it. Anyway, he said something like, one day I want to walk into a Marvel film and watch the post-credit scene and know exactly what's going on.
That would be nice. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they are very much...
Yeah. Because he knows stuff about this, this stuff, but he's just like, I don't know.
The general public have learned to stay after the credits, I think.
Yeah.
But I would say that they would have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Like at the end of, what is it? Is it Iron Man 2? Where Coulson goes to the desert and we see Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
Who would have any idea? Right?
Yeah.
Because nobody knows who Thor is at that point.
No.
Yeah.
I guess the idea is, though, they build interest in it.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
people going. Because if you have a post-credit sequence and it's Wolverine and he's like, I'm going to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Which is what happened at the end of Wolverine.
Correct.
In one of them, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Wolverine Origins, sorry. So, yeah, I guess they do it for that reason. So people look into it. And then they're excited for what's to come.
Yep.
Do you think this has defeated the Avengers, Mason? Do you think this is the new big thing?
No. You're correct.
Probably right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but you are excited for the sequel.
I'm actually, now that I know it's set in the 80s, there's going to be some big shoulders. It's going to be great. I want to see what they do. Yeah.
I want to see some future sunglasses.
Yeah.
I don't care in what era. I just want to say
just future sunglasses.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So here's the rating, Mason.
Mm-hmm.
I rated it worst movie ever on my YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
As I said, because there can only be one best movie ever and this isn't it. But then again, there can only be one worst movie ever. So I don't know what I've done there.
So, you painted yourself into a corner.
I have.
We need? We need a gritty reboot.
I think I'm going to have to change it. Not because people hate it. That part I enjoy.
Yep.
But because I think I am going to just change it to how we do in the podcast. Just best or worst, pick.
Cool.
Anyway, what do you think of it?
I'm going to go with best movie ever just to be contrary.
No, I agree. I think it is best movie
you
ever.
You can't agree. I just was contrary.
You're quite contrary, Mason.
I know, right? Mm-hmm.
But that's what I genuinely think. Okay. Like I said, I thought First Class was better. Mm-hmm. A lot of this was built on the back of other stuff. Not to discredit it, because it's pretty good. There we go.
Mm.
All right, Mason. It's time for what... Oh, wait. One more thing.
Yep.
Vitri Ibrahim wrote in. He said, comic geeks like us, and we kind of addressed this, know who Apocalypse is, but how many people know that his real name is
Insabar-Nur?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there you go. What do you think?
Is that a question?
Yeah, just a statement.
Few people.
Yes.
Very few people.
I meant to bring that up earlier.
Uh-huh.
Also, I got a lovely email from Matthew E. He actually included some sad Batman memes, which I know you asked for.
Absolutely, I did. Thank you for some people who sent them in. Hang on, where are we? I'll find this. Bloody find this. Don't think I won't. I probably won't, to be fair. Damian Wade sent me one.
Yep.
It was sad Batman meets sad Keanu on a park bench. They'd even drawn his little Batman legs in. And there's an opposing one, which is the same version, the Batman on Batmobile that we saw earlier.
Yeah.
And Keanu sitting on the hood. Real sad, and they're both eating sandwiches. Sad, sad sandwiches. So I enjoyed those a lot.
Oh, that's amazing. Here we go, Mason. This is from Matthew E.
Uh-huh.
Sad Batman dancing with Napoleon's Dynamite's girlfriend.
Pretty great. That's good.
Sad Batman peeing himself in a pool.
Oh, come on, Sad Batman.
Sad Batman at a cinema, which is showing Ben Affleck's double feature, Reindeer Games and Daredevil.
Pretty great.
There you go. Sad Batman. Oh, but he had a question as well.
Uh-huh.
Or a statement. I can't remember. Hang on. Yeah. Who do you think the Four Horsemen of Apocalypse will be in the next movie? We talked about Wolverine. We talked about Archangel. Anyone else?
Will they have Angel back? Was he popular?
No. He had a lot of posters about him. Did you notice?
That's true. Yeah. Archangel and Wolverine have both been death.
Mm.
So I'm going to say one of those is an option there. I'm going to say Wolverine because I want to see him get the adamantium back.
Okay.
I reckon death and war are kind of interchangeable.
Yep. Sure.
Like we've had the Hulk as war.
Yeah.
But we can't use the Hulk, obviously. So I reckon Archangel and Wolverine are probably death and war.
Okay, yeah.
Gambit's also been death, but Gambit was not popular.
But he's coming back.
Oh, is he?
Remember we talked about it, Channing Tatum's...
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Who do you reckon for famine? Sunfire's been famine.
Okay.
So that's an option.
Yeah.
He could really, crisp up them crops, you know, so you can't hate him.
That could be the tagline of this show.
Crisp up them crops. Hashtag crisp up them crops. Yeah, so famine, probably sunfire. Mr. Sinister's been pestilence.
Okay.
But we haven't. Are we going to see a Mr. Sinister?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Not to say there isn't.
Yeah, yeah. Because Mr. Sinister is a creation of Apocalypse. So see him there, maybe?
Yeah.
There is a character called Plague who might be pestilence.
Sure.
But maybe not. I reckon there'll be a couple of generics.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's why I feel that there's going to be some existing members of the four horsemen. There'll be an existing four.
And Wolverine
takes out one or two.
Yeah.
And then he needs replacements.
Yeah.
I think that's probably how it's going to go.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Mason.
So the second two are just going to be generic.
Yeah, good.
Just guys.
Well, it's time, Mason, for what we reading, what we gonna read.
Theme song.
I'm doing the theme. Now I'm going to recommend something fairly obvious.
Okay.
Just go back and read Days of Future Past.
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Because it's... I just think the reason I reread it, or possibly reread it for the first time, I can't remember. The point. Well, I knew the story anyway, basically. But just to see how it differs from the movies. Now, it's going for like $10 or something on Comixology at the moment.
Oh, that's a bargain.
Is it? It's from the 80s. Yeah, good point. I'm just saying.
$10 is all right.
Okay, fair
like if
enough.
You had to buy that as trade paperback.
But that story itself is not very long. Like just the bit with the time travel.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that long at all.
Mm. I remember it being longer, I guess. Because back in the day, you'd read it a month at a time.
Yeah.
I guess, and now you can read it all in 10 minutes or whatever. You're right. $10 is crazy. Still off the internet, guys. Don't do that.
That's it. And Billy Arundel also recommends the TV show Fargo, which is apparently amazing.
I've heard it's also amazing.
Yeah, I really got to watch that. So
yeah.
I put that in more for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to watch that.
I'm so behind. I've just put Hannibal on my iPad.
I got to watch Hannibal as well.
First season of Hannibal, yeah. I hear that's like True Detective, but it's every week.
And wacky?
Not wacky, no.
Hannibal or Fargo?
Hannibal.
Okay.
Is like True Detective. Like, it's super intense.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a lot more episodes.
Oh. So
yeah. Yeah, but that's on the list. Here's what I'm going to read. And by read, I mean watch on the television.
Gotcha.
Have a listen to this. You might sound excited after this.
Sure.
Okay, it's called Penny Dreadful.
I've heard about this. Yeah.
Have a listen to this. Explorer Sir Malcolm Murray, American gunslinger Ethan Chandler, and others unite to combat supernatural threats in Victorian London. How good does that sound?
That does sound pretty good.
And by good, you mean it sounds like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And by that, real bad. But I've heard nothing but good things.
Me too.
So maybe this is done right. Eva Green, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
She was good in that movie where she showed all her boobs. All
correct.
Of them.
Yeah.
No, she's great, Eva Green.
We never talked about that. That's... Not the boobs part. We talked about that. But in 300 Rise of an Empire...
Yeah. There's that really rough sex scene.
There's that. But it's that movie is oddly progressive in that nobody ever questions her that she's the leader of the fleet.
For being a woman.
That's
a really good point.
Yeah.
They say, because aren't you Greek?
Yeah.
But they never say, because you're a woman.
Yeah.
That's a really good
like
point.
Like, if they'd made that a few years ago... She would have had to deal with that the whole film.
Yeah.
But it's just taken as given.
Yeah.
Anyway, this series.
What a great movie.
Yeah, yeah. No, really bad. It's fine. I've heard nothing but good things about this. And Timothy Dalton's in it. So,
love the Dalt.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Even though he's a bit of a Dalt. But he's not Mason.
No, he's great.
He's great.
Seems like a nice man.
He does.
Also, Josh Hartnett is in it.
Oh, I like Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
Glad to see him back.
Mm.
He's been lying low for a while.
Yeah, yeah. He did that film about an alternate... past where guns didn't exist or something.
I think you're thinking of the butterfly effect.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, I'm going to watch that.
All
There's
right
only
then.
A couple episodes out, but it looks super fun.
I'm into it.
Now and how much worse could it be than League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
Just that alone.
Yeah.
Everything you said then makes it infinitely better. Even if it's worse, it's still better.
That's very true.
All right. Few things to get through today, Mason.
Yep.
Some questions and whatnot and comments. James Berry's has written in. Now, he said that in the comics, the X-Men comics in particular, or the Marvel comics, there's a big double standard. For example, Human Torch is a hero and a celebrity, but Triage was born with the power to heal others and whatever, and he's a monster.
Yep.
Why is it that mutants are looked upon as monsters, but Spider-Man... Well, maybe not. People hate Spider-Man.
People do hate Spider-Man.
I don't know, Thor's a hero or whatever. And you're not like... The people aren't like, Thor's terrifying and could kill us all.
That's true.
I've got an answer.
Okay.
because Johnny Storm is really cool.
He's a cool dude, isn't he? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's got cool catchphrases.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I think that's just the X-Men universe. I mean, it doesn't actually make any logical sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's always been that they're kind of, they're the representative of any kind of the group with the, which are downtrodden.
Yeah. They're a minority.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, Johnny Storm, white, Triage, black. And I don't, you know, individually that doesn't make much of a difference. But I think the X-Men is supposed to represent various minorities.
Yeah.
And
Johnny Storm represents a blonde white guy.
Yeah, jocks.
Jocks.
Yeah. Yeah, cool jocks. So that's probably it.
Yeah. But now, yeah, that, he makes a really good point. He also mentioned that his dog of 14 years was recently put down after a long battle with illness.
Oh.
And it's, yeah, I know, right? And it's devastating. But he said the show put a smile on his face. But I know that's not as good as I was having a really awesome dog. So I'm sorry about that. If my dog, I love dogs. And I hate it when dogs die. It's the worst thing ever. Mm. It's like losing a family member. Because dogs are part of the family. You know, whenever I see dogs in the park, I know it's not cool to do this, but I just want to run up and, like, wrestle them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't really care for cats.
No.
Not because I don't like them, because I feel like I don't know how, like, if I'm going to hold one, it's going to, like, flip out. Like, you know what I mean? You don't know what a cat's going to do.
Cat owners and cat lovers, email in and tell James why he's wrong.
Not against cats,
it
mate.
It seems like you are, though. Okay, from your words enough. And actions, it seems like you are.
Yeah. And he also said, it's good to hear two Melbourne boys becoming so popular with the rest of the world. But he says, he'll disown us the moment we become total pricks like Mel Gibson
That's
and Russell Crowe.
Yep. I got my phone ready to go.
Awesome. So thanks, James. Yeah, sorry about that. Hope everything works out, man.
Same.
Yeah. Mm. Think of all the good times you had, though, and you gave that dog an awesome life.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Still sucks. Now, this is a couple of questions.
Okay.
Now,
I will entertain the first one, and if it's good, I will entertain the second one.
All right. Mason, this is from Grayson Smith. Cool name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. James, why do I call you Mason instead of Nick? Because your first name is Nick. I always have called you that. Though people call you Meso.
Correct.
And variations of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I know you as.
My mom and dad call me Meso. It's weird. It's not true. I think it's a high school thing.
Yeah, okay.
Because there's always
more
than one Nick in a room.
Sure.
But there's very rarely more than one Mason.
Yeah, good point.
Except for this guy I know called Nick Mason.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Your nemesis.
Yeah, my nemesis, yeah.
Well, everybody, as you know, will pretty much calls me my last name.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't normally get called James. But, hey, you'll never know what my last name is, though, Mason. You'll never know.
Oh.
It's bread butter.
Because you're from the Harry Potter universe.
That's
is that
right.
What?
Third, he lives in the US and he's going to his debate national tournaments next week. That's actually last week because he sent this on Sunday. And he has a good shot at winning it. And he wants a shout out. Shout out.
Shout
we
out.
Hope you
good
won
luck.
If you didn't.
Time travel. Good luck.
So yeah, hope that
gonna
went
send
on,
my,
man.
I'm going to send my good luck back in time using my previously unrevealed powers to send good luck back in time.
Sure. I feel like debating is something I should have done at school instead of doing literally no extracurricular activities at all and passing through my school like I was a ghost, leaving no impact.
You played a lot of video games there.
I sure did.
Yeah, cool. You got a badge for it.
Yeah. Now, Ryan E., or Ryan E. Gosling, as you called him, Mason.
Sure.
You want to know of our opinion on a plot he found in Marvel movies. So no prize this, Mason. You fuck.
Wow.
Spider-Man declines money from Harry Osborn in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, right? He's like, I don't need your money. But it turns out he does need his money because Aunt May's working really hard for the man.
Yep.
Do you think he should have just taken that money?
I do. You can't, this is not no prize applicable, I don't think.
Okay, sure.
He should have.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an idiot. a lot of stuff he should have done in that film. Again, he should have said, okay, here is some blood. Test it before you stick it in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I could have AIDS. You don't know.
Yeah, I got spider AIDS. I got arachna AIDS.
Yeah. Mm. So there you go, Ryan.
Yeah. He should have taken that money. You're right.
Yeah, he's right.
Sweet, sweet dollars.
Yeah. Brett Hannah wants to know, how did we meet? You were a friend of my brother's, correct?
That's true.
And then we
And
just...
now you're better. I discovered you were better. So he's out and you're in.
Well, you know, things change over time, Mason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My brother's got kids. Yeah. He hasn't got time to do this nonsense.
Correct.
He's got, like, real things to do.
Uh-huh.
He's got, like, a proper job and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a firefighter. He's, like, a proper guy.
Yeah.
With, like, a house and a family.
We're just hotshot lawyers. What are we going to... Who are we going to help? Besides sexy dames in trouble, you know?
Yeah, and he wants to know also, how did we become the official podcast of comicbookmovie.com? It's a really good, interesting story, actually. Jim Little, who runs the site, who's stepping down at the moment, just temporarily. Another guy called
Am I the new CEO?
Yes. Not stepping down, he's stepping away. He's a 50% owner with another guy, or part owner with another guy called Nate. So Nate's taking
this
over.
This story isn't that interesting.
Well, Mason, let me get to the interesting part.
Okay.
I thought for a while I wanted to do a podcast, and I just emailed Jim and I said, Jim, I'm thinking of doing a podcast. Do you mind if I do it? And I called it the official podcast of Comic Book Movie. And he said, sure, if you do it every week and it's consistent, whatever.
Right.
And then one time he emailed and said, hey, good job on the podcast. And he might hate it. And he probably doesn't listen to it.
Absolutely.
But what a great story. Yeah. Also, he'd love...
That's a secret origin.
Yeah. I told you it was a good story, Mason. Mm-hmm. Also, if you could have one last request, he'd love for Mason to call him an asshole or a dickhead or maybe something more clever if he's up to it. That would make his day. Go for it.
I'm thinking. I'm formulating. Brett Hanna. More like Daryl Hanna. Famous actress from the 80s. You girl. Tell you that. You're probably in some good films.
You went for the one where she was a giant woman.
Was she in Kill Bill?
Yes.
She's great.
She's got her eye pulled out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, there you go. You went clever. I thought you didn't think you were going to go clever.
I take it back. You're great. You're great in Kill Bill. You dickhead. There, I turned it around again. Who knows where I'm going to go? You don't know.
Now, Mason, we always love incongruous DVD packs.
Oh, yes, we do.
I got one sent in from Eli Benning, which is a two-pack of Club Dread and iRobot.
Yeah, the best. That's pretty great.
Speaking of Tupac, Tupac, mm-hmm. It was revealed early this week that his last words were, as he died, as a police officer came up to him, fuck you. And then he died.
Huh.
So,
or did he die?
Well, yeah.
No, he died. He really died, yeah. He transcended into hologram form, and now he just floats around the world, just appearing at music awards.
Yeah.
Clarky,
yeah.
On Twitter,
yeah.
He sent one,
mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's great, but with reservations.
Oh, okay.
It's from Walmart, mm-hmm. Right? It's a 3 DVD pack, right? It's One Direction, the One Direction documentary, right? A Justin Bieber Rise to Fame documentary, and then in the middle, Hitler, The Rise of Evil. Right, which is great, but like, because it's sort of an anti-Semitism sandwich with like Aryan Nation bread,
sure.
Which is pretty great. But
that's a great name for like a white power band.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anti-Semitism sandwich.
Clearly, like I've never been in a Walmart. We don't have them here.
No, we don't.
But clearly, what has happened is they've got like 50,000 unsold DVDs up the back.
Yeah,
and they point to a guy who's on like $5 an hour, and he's like, package all these in the threes, and he's like, I'll do what I want. And he just, I don't care about this job. And then he's put them all together.
Right? All together.
Like, if this came out in an actual boxed set.
Yeah.
And it had three great movies and then those three, that would go in the Hall of Fame forever.
Yeah.
But as it is, that's great. But, you know.
Reservations.
Can't be the winner.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right then. Hmm. Moving on along.
Yep.
Alex Scott wrote in. He said, what character, comic book character, do you feel has the best facial hair? His vote goes to Deathstroke for his beautifully maintained goatee.
Uh-huh.
That's fair.
Yep.
His real superpower was managing his facial hair. I'd also want to give out to my main man, Jim Gordon, for his lovely moustache. Mm. I've got one.
Okay.
You got one?
I'm going to say Tony Stark, but I'm going to say Tony Stark from the 70s.
Why is that?
Because he didn't have... Because nowadays, like, Robert Downey Jr. has the Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And the comic version has, like, a variation.
Yeah.
Like, he's had a goatee for ages.
Yeah.
But 70s Tony Stark had like a tweedly little mustache and a perm. So, because he was like the cool guy, and I guess in the 70s you had a tweedly mustache,
yeah,
and a perm. So
very good point.
That's my favourite, probably.
I have to say Egg Foo.
Oh, he's got a tweedly
mustache. He can fight with that mustache.
Yeah, absolutely,
as well.
He can. Yeah, Egg Foo's a good one.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Alex. Hope that answers your question.
Mm-hmm.
Last one. Hey, Nick and James. He says, I know that James is Batman to Nick's Robin and should go first.
Wait a second.
But I'll be kind and say he's the Tim Drake Robin, the one who wears pants. Now, I just want to say in response to that, I feel like we're both Robin. I don't feel like
either
of us.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we can't take on that mantle. I recently started reading Spider-Man Noir and really enjoyed it. I was wondering about our opinions of the Marvel Noir universe. Please rate it best and worst. I've read zero of it. I couldn't tell you. What do you think?
It's a mixed bag.
Sure.
Aesthetically, I think they look good, but I think a lot of the storylines are quite poor.
Okay.
But you'll know Spider-Man Noir from Shattered Dimensions.
Yeah, yeah.
He made an appearance in that.
Yeah.
Look, it's okay.
More like Spider-Man Nah.
Oh, I get it. Yep, that's good. Yep. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm.
So, yeah, there we go. He also mentions Dr. McNinja. Now, you've read Dr. McNinja.
Sure, absolutely.
It's an online webcomic. Uh-huh. Is it still online? I haven't read it for years.
No, neither have I.
But it's great.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I should have brought it up on the show earlier. It's great art, great storyline, very funny. Dr. McNinja.
What did we mention Wolverine facial hair? He's got incredible facial hair.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Good chops,
I see you've got Jerry Butler's facial hair
there
as
absolutely,
well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Uh-huh.
I guess it was the obvious choice, I guess.
Oh, and J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a...
Sweet little
He's
Hitler
got a little
moustache.
Toothbrush moustache.
Yeah. That's not a Hitler moustache, is it?
No,
I shouldn't really say that. Now, also, he's mentioned a comic book here that I've read, and I know I've read it because you gave me a copy of it.
Uh-huh.
P.S. I've recently heard there is a Deadpool comic where Deadpool dresses up like Spider-Man. Any ideas if it's real? Thanks. Yes, it is real.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one, if you want me to talk about it. Or
go ahead. Go nuts.
It's the one where Deadpool time travels back to the 1960s Spider-Man universe.
Uh-huh.
And he exists in this bizarre 1960s comic book world. And he has a... Does he have a holographic projectory kind of thing?
I think he does, yeah.
Where does he change himself into Peter Parker or Spider-Man? Or is it both?
I think it's both.
I know he sends Spider-Man on a merry chase.
Uh-huh.
And he beats the hell out of Kraven the Hunter.
Yep.
And he's like mocking him and whatever because he's like, what are you doing? What
is this outfit?
It's a really good comic. I have no idea what issue it is or what it's called. But I remember it being a very amusing read.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I thought Deadpool. I was like, oh my God, I'll never get sick of this character. And then I stopped reading anything Deadpool.
Yeah, you sort of burn out on that.
Yeah.
And you kind of He's Deadpools,
fine.
I think, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the show for this week though, Mason.
Mm.
Anything
Wait.
Else?
Green Arrow goatee.
Yep.
Also pretty good.
Not the modern one.
No.
You're talking...
You can grow that though.
Oh yeah.
Go on.
You're talking sweet like Robin Hood goatee.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Maybe a little pointy at the ends. Great.
Are you just looking through comic book movies?
Pretty much.
Comic book
fashion. Yeah, it's all pretty good stuff.
Oh, anything to add, Mason, before we wrap the show up?
Nah.
All right. Quick shout out to the Brute and the Basilisk for their theme songs.
Thank
Gabriel
you very
Bruton
much, guys.
And Joseph Lisk mm-hmm. for amazing work, and we appreciate it every week.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, if you do want to be a part of the show in some capacity, possibly, depends how much time I have to go through them, send in Star Wars stories that you want to see. They can be existing stories. They can be something that you've made up of.
Go nuts. I would actually love to hear a lot of those,
yeah.
So that'd be good.
So, yeah, yeah. You're going to go through them, aren't you, and filter them out?
Yeah. Do heaps of work on this show.
Sure.
I don't just show up.
You were very prepared for Apocalypse.
Not true.
Well, you seemed prepared.
I seemed prepared.
You did.
Yeah.
I was very impressed. Mm. Yeah. If you want to get in contact with the show, please do at weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, Facebook, and Twitter. You can contact me on youtube.com/MrSundayMovies or Twitter, Mr. Sunday Movies.
You can find me at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter, and no pressure, but it was my birthday. So, you know, do whatever you want.
Emphasis on the was. By the time this goes out, it's not his birthday. Don't feel obliged. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.